Hey, Todd?
Yeah, is this Sully?
Yeah.
Nice, dude. Thank you so much for taking the time here with the Toddcast in Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah, no worries at all. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Where am I calling you today?
I'm in New Orleans.
Okay. Right on, dude. Well, of course, we're all looking forward to Godsmack being back. It's not actually in Vancouver. It's at the Abbotsford Entertainment and Sports Center the end of the month, April 26. It is going to be fan-freaking-tastic. You guys are always at the top of your game. Whenever I've seen you, brilliant sets.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
I kind of wanted to go back to the beginning, if we could, Sully, before you were in bands, and kind of talk about the music that was in your house as a kid growing up. Like, which bands were your parents playing and kind of exposing you to?
Ironically, I have a very long music history. My great uncle, who was my grandmother's brother, my dad was born and raised in Sicily, and my grandmother's brother, who was also in the same town in Sicily, was this famous composer.
Oh.
And my dad is a musician as well. He plays the trumpet and still to this day owns the Northeast Italian band that does all the Italian feasts throughout Boston. He's been doing it for 57 years this year. So, I was literally like raised under the piano. I was born into music and, used to watch my dad's band rehearse in the basement and things like that when I was very young, and that's kind of what got me started. And then from there, I started playing, drums when I was 3 and a half, taking lessons and all that, and I just kind of never stopped from there. Mm-hmm. So I was raised with, jazz and blues and, more orchestrated kind of music. And then as I got older, it morphed into, Buddy Rich and more jazz stuff like that, and then into rock and roll as I got into my teen years and discovered marijuana.
This sounds very familiar.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's kind of the environment that, that the path that music took me on.
Right. And so which were the bands to kind of like, for rock wise, to really grab a hold of you? Which were the first few bands?
Well, Aerosmith was one of the first, being Boston guys themselves.
Right.
And being so influential and all that. I was into the band Boston itself, Aerosmith. I was listening to a lot of Zeppelin and Sabbath and Pink Floyd and, the iconic kind of bands that were around during my era in the 70s and 80s. And then, eventually we started getting into the Metallicas and the Judas Priests and the Iron Maidens and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, again, it was just a trajectory of like different genres of music that were opening up as I was growing up.
How many serious bands were you in before Godsmack?
My first band, I was 11. I went through a series of bands from that point forward. I was on tour when I was 17. And, one thing just kind of led to the next and the next and the next. And then eventually I signed a deal with Warner Brothers Reprise with a punk band called Strip Mind. And I did a record with them, and then that band was just a train wreck and self-destructed. And, but all the contacts and places that I had played nationally through that band, I kind of saved. And then when I formed Godsmack in 95, I started reaching out to those club owners and people like that to just get us decent slots opening for, like, nationals and stuff like that. And then it just started growing from there.
Mm-hmm. Wow, 95. So 25 years next year. Have you guys got anything kind of planned, or is there...
Well, maybe internally, because we didn't sign until 98. So to the public, we've been around since 98, but the band formed in 95. So
right. Still past 20, man. That's
25th year anniversary.
Dude, that's crazy. That's a long time to be doing one thing. Not just bands, just one thing in general. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, Sully, when I mentioned you're going to be a guest of the podcast, a ton of Godsmack fan questions. I would love to get to some of them. Karen wants to know, what do you for like TV and Netflix and stuff, what are you binge watching right now?
Oh my God. I just finished Narcos, which was probably the best TV series I've ever seen since Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
The first one I got into was Entourage. Well, Sopranos was first, and then I literally disconnected my HBO the way that it ended. I was pissed off that I spent 8 years following that show, and that's how it ended. So I literally called the operator and told her to cancel my subscription to HBO. And then I went on to, like, Entourage was probably my favorite comedic TV series. I've probably watched that several times. And, you know, then I started to get into like Walking Dead and Sons of Anarchy, and I just finished Narcos, which was amazing.
And did you hear that, like one of their stagehands or something, like a production director or something like that, when they were looking for like location scout, and maybe it was even location scout, somebody from the crew was killed while filming.
Wow. I didn't know that.
That's crazy.
I didn't know that, but I do know that the lead guy that, well, not the lead guy, but the guy at the end that ends up, you know, taking down the Cali cartel, and is in witness protection program. He was one of the advisors on the show, from what I heard.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, absolutely. Great show. Great show. Steve has an awesome question. He goes, are you a fan of rock documentaries? If so, are you planning to release a Godsmack documentary?
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, I am a fan of rock documentaries, and just recently I've been getting into them lately. I thought the Foo Fighters did a great job. I started with
Kurt
Cobain. Yeah, the latest one they just came out with.
Yeah, that was good.
I've watched a bunch of them. Even like, you know, it's not even rock. Sometimes it's just like, you know, real documentaries on artists. Like, you know, the Amy Winehouse one was great. Whitney Houston's newest one was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got into like, you know, the story of Kurt Cobain, and then, you know, the Foo Fighters was great, and Metallica's Some Kind of Monster was amazing. You know, I like a lot of that stuff too. And as far as us, we're not doing a proper Godsmack documentary right now. We think it's just a little bit early for that, but I am releasing a documentary on my life story from zero until we got a record deal, to show people kind of the path that I took and, you know, the struggles I faced and things like that. So we're working on that now. It's actually in post-production.
Hoping
to get that out next year.
That's very cool. I would imagine that you have a ton of footage to kind of go through, and stories and everything else to share. Like,
yeah, it's been an interesting ride reliving my life story and stuff like that.
I bet.
It's kind of more based on the book that I released a while ago. So that'll come out at some point the next year, I'm sure.
Right. Kim has a really tough question. Which bands are in your top five all time? I think we probably touched on a few of them off the top there.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, Pink Floyd is definitely one of them.
Mm.
Zeppelin, Rush, as far as rock bands go. You know, bands like that, I would think. But there's other bands, too, that I listen to pretty frequently, like Dead Can Dance. I was very influenced by. They're the ones who kind of inspired songs like Voodoo and Serenity and stuff like that. So.
Oh. And what a shame that Rush is done. I guess Neil Peart's just, the drums are just, it's too much. I'm an old guy now. Are you kidding me? I can't keep that torrid pace up.
I don't know, man. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting the guy and becoming friends with him a while back. And I know his personal assistant really well. And, you know, me and Shannon got to sit with him a few times. And as a matter of fact, we got an interview with him on camera, you know, to give us some words on Godsmack and the drum solo that we do and things like that. And I think it's one of the last interviews, if not the very last one, he's ever done on camera. And but the last time they played on their farewell tour, we got to see the second to last show, and we went backstage and we were chatting with him and brought him a nice bottle of Macallan and all that. And it was kind of a funny story because Shannon went up to him, you know, and he was just like, man, like, are you done? And he goes, yeah, I'm done. And Shannon's like, yeah, but you're still going to, like, you know, play your house or something like that, right? He's like, no. And he goes, not even like a drum set in your basement or something. And he put his arm around Shannon, and he looked at him, and he goes, son, I think I've done everything I can do on the drums. And Shannon goes, yes, you have, sir. And he walked away.
Totally, right? Like, what? That's good. Mike asks, do you believe that aliens have visited Earth?
Dude, not only visited, man, I am such a strong believer in whole extraterrestrial technology and life on other planets and stuff like that. I'm actually really good friends with Stephen Greer, who released the documentaries Serious Disclosure and Unacknowledged, and I am way, way into that stuff, man. Mm. And I am not only a true believer, but I really believe that in the next 5 to 6 years that I think we're going to have some exposure, some real exposure. And, you know, I know that they're working on things right now that are going to trap the government into forcing them to expose all the stuff that they have. And if they don't, they're going to release it anyways, because there's way too many people now that have worked for the government, even up to like five-star generals and, you know, people that aren't crackpots. They're like legit people, and they're coming clean with it. And they're just like, listen, you know, this is holding back the human race. This is holding back how we're going to advance. And you guys need to release this technology and stuff because the people are ready for it. And, you know, they're claiming that, like, oh, the people can't handle it. But everyone else is saying, like, we'll be fine. Like, and if this stuff gets exposed, it could project us 100 years into the future. And so it's one of those things that's very hard for people to believe. And if you're not in tune with it, I can understand why people may think you're a crackpot or think it's just, like, too out there to believe. But I truly believe it exists. And I've seen enough to convince me that there's no way it doesn't exist. And it's pretty ignorant to think that we're the only little speck in this universe, and we don't even know how many universes there are, to think that it has life form on it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've had enough people answer that question with, dude, not only have they visited, but they're probably living among us present day, like right now.
For sure. I believe it, man.
I
think there's going to be a lot of stuff exposed, and I think when it comes out, it's going to be a shit show.
It'll be interesting.
Religion, that goes right out the window.
Totally, right? Totally. Lester goes, how proud are you as a band knowing that you diversified your sound on the new record and absolutely killed it from beginning to end?
We're very proud of this record. I mean, it's probably the strongest record I think we've ever written since the first one, and it's really getting a great response. There's a whole new fan base that's being exposed to it, that we're seeing new faces at the shows, like in the thousands. And I'm really glad that, you know, we decided to kind of explore some new colors and textures in the music, because I think, you know, after 20 years and seeing new generations growing up with Godsmack, you know, we have to evolve with the fan base, and we have to evolve as artists. And we can't keep writing the same record over and over again. We've done all the chugging and the metal and the thing and whatever. But, you know, it's time for us now to kind of be true to who we are now as musicians. And my goal has just always been to develop myself to become the best songwriter I can be, because that's what I do. I'm a songwriter.
Right. Ryan, he actually doesn't have a question. He's got more of a just a backslap, I guess. He goes, I remember seeing the Vancouver date you guys did with Metallica, and the drum off you did with Shannon was easily the highlight of that show. I agree. Great. I mean, that was like, what is going on? I was in one of those suites above, you know, where they got like the fridge and all the food and everything comes to you, all that kind of thing. And, you know, I was working at the radio station at Seafox doing the afternoon show for long time, and that way I have a bunch of like listeners and stuff and fans of your band, and everybody was saying the same thing.
Cool, dude. Like, glad they enjoyed it.
It's just so
one of the highlights of our show for us too. You know, we enjoyed playing that part of the show.
Yeah, no, it's just so fun. Brad has a question. You can tell me to piss off if you don't want to answer it, but he goes, ask him how much the Prince George crowd sucked when he was here. He actually stopped the show to tell the crowd they were brutal. What happened there?
I don't remember. I was probably drunk.
Right. Fair enough. All right. A couple more questions. And Sully, thank you, man, again for doing this. I appreciate it. Who's your favorite superhero?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably Deadpool.
must love the movies. Like, how good are the movies? Could have they picked a better guy than Ryan Reynolds? Like, come on.
I like Deadpool and I like Hancock. There was something about putting a twist on a superhero that was just an asshole.
Right. Yeah, another really good movie. Yeah, Will Smith did a great job on that. Which superpower would you want to have?
Boy, that's another good question. I would think maybe flying, because I hate commercial airlines.
Bullet speed, though. It's got to be like blink of an eye, you're on the other side of the world. Superman stuff.
Bulletproof would be good, too. That's pretty good. Yeah, but then again, I don't get shot at often, so I think flying is probably better. True. I'd utilize that one more.
Yeah, true. Hey, tell us about the Scars Foundation that you recently established.
Yeah, so, you know, I had wrote the song on the new record. It's the first time Godsmack ever attempted to put a song like this on a record. It's a straight-up epic ballad, like a Dream On / November Rain style ballad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the inspiration behind it was just through an experience I had with someone who, you know, had a lot of baggage and scars and things that they were embarrassed about or made them feel insecure. And when things came up, they would be the kind of person that would push away rather than want to communicate and, you know, talk through it and just accept it as part of their flaws and things like that. And we all have them, you know, we all have these things we call scars, whether they're emotional or physical. And then from there, you know, I was just thinking, this could be a really great cause, and I've always wanted to do something with a nonprofit. And so I developed an organization called the Scars Foundation, which we just announced a couple of days ago. And it's a nonprofit that's going to help raise money on a global level. We've partnered with multiple companies to help battle everything from depression to addiction, bullying, PTSD, suicide prevention. You know, because I'm not sure how everyone feels about this, but for me, I was getting really sick and tired of losing a lot of important people in my life and, you know, hearing about these amazing artists that are just self-destructing everywhere through depression, whether they drink themselves to death or overdose or take their own lives. And, you know, the Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington back-to-back, that I think had a pretty big effect on everyone in the music industry. And, you know, I just thought it was time to maybe do something a little bit more on my part, or something I can do. So we're hoping that, you know, the Scars Foundation will not only raise money globally to help these experts do their jobs better, but also to be a voice, you know, and help strengthen people, to help them understand that, you know, we all have these kind of imperfections and things that we feel insecure about or make us feel unworthy. But rather than stuff them down, you know, and suffer in silence and keep them internal, you know, I want people to kind of represent their scars, you know, and show their scars proudly and tell their stories, so it'll inspire other people to tell their stories. And I think that's how we're going to start making a difference, is to get people to be vocal about it. Because unfortunately, you know, amputees and people that have physical scars, it's easy to identify them and be able to reach out and help or offer help or have them go for help. But the depression thing's a tough one, because it's a silent killer. And you don't see it coming until it's too late. And so the only way to really get help with people and to try to pull them out of this darkness is to get them to be vocal about it. And once we know that this is something they struggle with, then, you know, we can do even more. So this really needs to be, you know, a worldwide effort. It needs to be a group effort for everybody, you know, to just take it upon themselves to be able to come forward and know that we understand and we care, and we all have this, like we all, me, my drummer, my bass player, like everybody that people may look up to, and I'm sure millions others that, you know, are in a celebrity status and people may think are untouchable or live this great life. We all struggle with these imperfections, but, you know, we just want to help people, empower them and get them stronger so they can come up forward with it and, you know, and deal with it, and then help others deal with it.
You know, I love your band. I love your band even more.
Thanks. Yeah, so, I mean, if anybody that's listening to this is, you know, interested in that thing, all they have to do is go to our website, godsmack.com, put in /Scars Foundation, and it'll bring up the page and tell you about the mission and the About Us and contact info, and if they want to donate financially or contribute in events physically or anything like that, all the information is there. And so now it's just about getting the word out.
Yeah. That's great. Good work, Sully.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time. I know your time's valuable, so I'm going to let you go here. But again, thank you again for coming on. Abbotsford Entertainment and Sports Center, Godsmacker playing April 26. Grab your tickets now. And I guess through Godsmack online, we'll see you online as well.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see you guys soon, man. Thanks for having me.